For thousands of years, travellers from all over the world have walked Spain's Camino de Santiago. While the 500-mile pilgrimage has succeeded in lifting many a soul, it's also impacted positively on local economies along the various routes, becoming an important part of Spain's tourism industry. It's a market that Ireland is set to target, with our own ancient pilgrim paths being rebranded for the modern traveller. The man who knows all about this is John O'Dwyer, Chair of Pilgrim Paths Ireland. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Sean. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you're very welcome. Start with your own story. You have walked all of Ireland's pilgrim paths. You've literally written the book. Tell me about this.
Yes, I think I deserve heaven because it certainly was a penitential experience. And the first time I walked it was in 2012. And everybody remembers that as the summer where everywhere, the Shannon flooded, everywhere flooded. I was absolutely washed away. But at the same time, it was a wonderful experience. And I wrote a book about this experience, a first guidebook to the Irish pilgrim paths, starting up in Slemish and finishing down in Skellig-Michael. So it was a long walk and there wasn't many people walking the paths then. And I remember one day, then on the lonely journey across the Sheehy Mountains into Gugan Barra, I said, this is the most wonderful place, but there was nobody around. And I thought, you know, I must try to share this with people. So when I was finished the book then, I got in contact with a lot, some of the pilgrim groups across Ireland, and asked them, would they come to a meeting? And I was, you know, about putting forward the pilgrim paths and kind of making them available to the 21st century traveller. And I just waited. We had a meeting in Nina and a few of us there waited, and they poured in from Donegal, from Mayo, from Cork, from Kerry, and we were away.
And you're talking about 11 paths in all?
Yes, well, there are 11 paths in all. You're talking about there, you mentioned it on the Tigrin, you know, the full Camino being about, you know, 600 kilometres. But there's also, you know, if you want to do the Camino, you can get the Compostela for doing 100 kilometres. Now, we don't have a linear path in Ireland like that, but five of the foremost paths have come together, and to do them entirely is 125 kilometres. And there's a passport there. You get it stamped at the end of each one, and then you finish in Ballintubber Abbey, and you get your it's attached to Iliroch there. That's the Irish. It's the same as the Compostela.
No, I'm just looking at the names of them here. Some of them beautiful names in Irish and English. Tuchrafádraig in County Mayo. That's a 35-kilometre pilgrim path. St. Kevin's Way in Wicklow. Cusson and Nave in Kerry. St. Finbar's pilgrim path in Cork. That's presumably the one you went over, or was it into Gugan Barra? And then Cnocnadubber again in County Kerry. A short one. If you do that in a couple of hours, maybe 6 kilometres.
You must be a man that holidays a bit in Kerry, Sean, I'd imagine. Yeah, that is one of the ones. Now, it's also got the most elevation on it, but it is an ancient pilgrim path. And the interesting thing about the Irish pilgrim paths is, if you take the age of the Irish pilgrim paths, you say they're middle-aged, then the Camino is a teenager. All our paths go way back further than the Camino. There's a much greater sense of walking in the hands of history and maybe going back even before the Christian time. Many of them are Christian paths that were, pagan paths that were actually Christianized.
Yes, and you borrow this idea of the passport then from the Camino. You can get them stamped. I mean, is that an important point for people to have that kind of objective? I mean, they literally tick the boxes.
Yeah, some people, yes. I mean, I was out in the Camino myself and there was a queue for the Compostela and I didn't get it. So, I mean, people, it's a facility we have there. It brings people together. It gives them an objective. But I am certain I have met people who say, this is an individual thing. I just want to do it myself. I don't need this kind of affirmation. But there is a lot of people who do it. And, you know, we're a very small volunteer organisation, but the response has been incredible. And even for this, our first pilgrim journey, first fully guided pilgrim journey along the pilgrim paths, which is taking place from the 19th to the 26th of August. We have people coming in for that from as far away as California.
And can people do the whole lot in that week? I mean, they're taken through it from start to finish. Is that the idea?
That's exactly it, because it's consecutive. You start with St. Finbar's Path, Cnocnadubber, then you move on to the Cusson and Nave, come up to Wicklow, then you take a day off to get up to Wicklow. Wicklow is on Thursday the 24th, and then on the 26th, you finish with the most ancient path of them all, which is the Tuchrafádraig, which you mentioned earlier on. So people can do the whole lot. But what we would like is people who can't do it, when this journey comes into your own area, when these people come, why not go out to Wicklow and join them? Why not join them for the finish in Mayo, or maybe go up Knocknadover in Kerry? Join in your own area. That would be fantastic. You know, there's a great collegiality. I mean, pilgrimages, sometimes you can do it on your own, but there's a lot of people, you meet people on the way.
What about accommodation? Is that all organised as well? And what does it cost?
You get on each, you have to book individually with each organiser, because remember, everybody, it's a linear route, everybody has to be bussed back, so they want to know how many seats on the bus. There's a bit of pressure on accommodation, certainly in places like West Cork, but David Ross is down there, he does his absolute best. I'm sure we will find that nobody is turned away. I think that's the spirit of the volunteers.
Why do people do these pilgrimages? Is it for a spiritual reason, or do they just want fresh air and a bit of exercise?
I think there's a lot of reasons, but one of the interesting things is that as religion become, I think there's a thing called informalization, I would call it, of religion. Religion was very, very formal, we'll say, in early 20th century Ireland. Now people are drifting away from that, but every generation searches for meaning, some kind of spirituality, and there's a movement towards the outdoors again, almost going back to our pagan past, and trying to find meaning out there. I always think it's the reasons people do pilgrim paths is some will go for discovery to find more about themselves. In the medieval period, there was atonement, penance. Then you have remembering somebody. That's a big thing, a person who has passed away. And some people just do it, you're right, they do it simply for escape, to get away from it. Maybe they've had a bad relationship, something like that. And finally, the final thing is gratitude, saying thanks. I call that D-A-R-E-S. That's the acronym for it.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks indeed for joining us. That's John O'Dwyer there, Chair of Pilgrim Paths Ireland. News after these. Today with